But first, members of the conference committee that'll now take up the House and Senate versions of the tax bill have been named. GOP leaders are aiming to take final votes on a compromise measure in the next couple of weeks. Even though the two chambers produce two different bills, there are some similarities. And joining me to talk about what they are and what they may mean for taxpayers is Adam Chodorow. He's a professor of law at ASU's Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law and specializes in tax law. And Adam, first off, looking at where we are now, based on what each chamber has approved, can you get a sense of how big of a change to the tax code we're looking at?
This is actually an enormous change. People have been talking about the 1986 Act as sort of the last big time where they made changes. This approaches that in terms of magnitude.
There has been such debate, and much of it partisan, naturally, of who will benefit from this. Will it be the upper class who are getting these big tax cuts, corporations? Will it be the middle class? Are they going to see a tax cut or a tax increase? Based on what we have seen so far, is it possible to determine that yet?
I think it is. The plans differ, and they're going to have a lot of difficult work to try to reconcile them. But they're similar in their structure, and so we get a general sense of what it's going to be.
And what do you think it's going to be?
Well, it depends on whether we're talking about personal or business. So let's start with personal.
Mm-hmm.
The big changes on the personal side is that what they're going to do is they are going to double the standard deduction. So the standard deduction will now be $24,000. And they're going to eliminate the personal exemptions. As a result, far fewer taxpayers are going to itemize their deductions. And so if you're used to donating to charity and then getting a deduction for that charitable donation, next year, assuming this passes, you're probably not going to be doing that because you'll be taking the standard deduction.
So that seems like it would be a pretty significant problem for nonprofits, for charities, for churches, synagogues, places like that.
Yeah, the charitable sector is actually quite concerned about this. And it all comes down to the question of how much does the incentive, the tax incentive, inspire people to give? Some people will give because they're just, that's who they are and that's what they want to do.
A cause they believe in sort of thing.
Right. Other people, on the other hand, say, well, I'm willing to give, but only if I get this tax incentive. And so one of the perhaps unintended consequences of doubling the standard deduction, which is viewed generally as a simplification measure, may be to blunt some of the incentives that exist elsewhere in the code.
In the past, we've talked about some of the other deductions that are in the tax code and sort of how they incentivize people's behavior, things like the mortgage deduction. I'm wondering, looking at what looks likely to come out of the Congress when the House and Senate get together, assuming they do, are there other types of things like that that we might see more of or less of, those kinds of behaviors?
Well, it depends on the agreement that they reach. So, for instance, let's take education. The House bill addresses educational benefits. And so they want to eliminate certain benefits like the HOPE tax credit, and they want to get rid of student loan interest deduction. They want to eliminate tuition waivers for employees of universities. The Senate bill doesn't do any of that. And so depending on which way they jump when they meet and negotiate in conference, we could see a fairly radical rewriting of the tax incentives for higher education.
We've heard a lot about what this bill, whatever it ends up being, might do to the deficit. And I'm wondering, when you're looking at rewriting the tax code, and as you say, this would be a fairly significant rewrite of the tax code, how much do you look at things like the deficit? How much do policymakers look at what kind of behavior they're incentivizing? How much do policymakers look at politics when they're looking at this sort of thing?
So for the last 30 or 40 years, the deficit has played an enormous role in any tax reform effort. And up until recently, almost every effort has been deficit neutral. The thing that Congress did this time around is they said, we're throwing that constraint out the window. And so that has had a huge impact on the way in which both the House and the Senate have approached these bills relative to how they'd done it in the past.
And the thinking, of course, among Republicans who supported these plans is that economic growth would be such that more money would be coming in to eventually offset or maybe even supersede what they would be adding to the deficit. Are those kinds of projections ones that are easy to believe in?
I think impossible to believe in is probably a more accurate way to put it. The claim has been over years that tax cuts pay for themselves. But the evidence has suggested and demonstrated time and time again that that's simply not true. The best estimates that I've seen are that tax cuts might generate a little more economic activity and might make up maybe a third of the cuts, but they simply don't pay for themselves.
Assuming that there is a compromise that comes out of this conference committee and President Trump signs it into law, how quickly do you think that we will start to see some of the effects of this bill? How quickly do you think we start to see people's behaviors change?
Well, it depends. So on the individual side, I'm not sure that we're going to see a lot of immediate effects. I think what we're going to see those is when people sit down to do their taxes the April thereafter and realize, wait, everything that they thought they knew about the tax code is now different. On the business side, it could have some immediate effect. So for instance, one of the things that both the House and the Senate bill have is 100% expensing of capital expenditures, meaning that if you buy an asset, you get to deduct the entire cost against your current income. That could have an incentive effect that causes companies to go out and buy equipment that they wouldn't otherwise buy. And that should happen immediately.
It sounds like you think this will be keeping CPAs and the folks at TurboTax pretty busy.
Absolutely. In fact, one of my great concerns about this act is an administrative one, which is that over the last several years, we've actually been cutting the funds that are going to the IRS. And with a severely reduced IRS, we are now asking them to completely overhaul their entire system to account for all of these new rules and to draft regulations to implement all of these new rules. And I'm a little worried about their ability and capacity to do that.
All right. Adam Chatterow is a professor of law at the ASU Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law, specializing in tax law. Adam, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you for having me.